Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Back to Colossians 2:13 is where we are headed today as we're talking about salvation. As the Apostle Paul is underscoring and explaining and expanding the understanding of the Colossian believers in regard to salvation, they need to be anchored in this. They need to understand salvation, not just on the surface, but below the surface. They need to understand many of the aspects of it, the details of it, the richness of it, because that's what is needed to fortify them against false teachers who are lurking around the corners of the Christians in Colossae. And of course, false teachers are lurking around the corners of your life and mine in the world in which we live today. And so Paul is taking some special effort to underscore for them some of the important tenets of the gospel. Here are some things that you really need to understand. And we can boil it down really to two areas. Number one, understand your natural condition. And number two, understand God's gracious salvation. And if you understand these things, and we're working our way through them, but if you can understand these things and understand them thoroughly, it's doubtful that you are going to be pulled away from the purity of the gospel. But if you don't, you are in a vulnerable position. So thank you for joining me on this Thursday, June 30, as we continue our study of this passage of God's Word. And many thanks to those of you who help us financially maintain this broadcast on this station. And let me just briefly say that our contributions for this year are running behind last year. And, of course, we commit all that to the Lord. It's His work, and if He wants it to continue, He will supply for it. But we did expand our radio log a little bit this year on the basis of increased contributions in 2015. But now, so far, in 2016, we are seeing a reduction. So I just mentioned that. If the funds don't come in, we'll conclude that God would have us to reduce the number of stations that we're on. But if additional funds come in, we have opportunities to expand further. So we leave it in the hands of God and let you know that information and pray that the Lord will direct those that He would have to respond to this opportunity. Well, Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. And Paul said, before I can explain the positive aspects of the gospel, I have to begin with the big negative, namely man's sinfulness. The part that seems to trouble a lot of people, the part that some preachers have publicly declared they don't deal with. How can you preach the gospel if you don't deal with man's sinful condition, which manifests the need for the gospel? Paul certainly didn't skip it. He spelled it out. You were dead, spiritually dead, in your trespasses, that is, your sins. Your sins, he's talking about your willful transgressions against Almighty God, your trespasses, and he adds the uncircumcision of your flesh. And that's where we left the broadcast yesterday, because Paul, in a sense, is saying, you not only were dead And he puts it here in the past tense because he's talking to Christians who've been made alive, but he wants them to understand the gospel, and they need to understand what they were before Christ found them and saved them. And what he's saying about them in the past, you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. In the case of some who are hearing this broadcast, this may not be a past event. This may be a present event. If you have not been born again, then you are dead in your trespasses. And unless you are a Jew, I'm talking about a real physical blood descendant of Abraham, then you are also, like the Colossians, existing in the uncircumcision of your flesh, which means that you're not only spiritually dead, but you're even worse than that. And at first you could scratch your head and say, what can be worse than being dead? If you're dead, you're dead. You can't get any worse than that. Well, yes, you can, because with spiritual death, there is hope of resurrection. There's hope of spiritual life. Actually, even physical death, there's that hope for those who know the Lord. When we die, of course, our souls go to be with the Lord immediately, but even our bodies await the resurrection. We know that if we know the Bible. We believe that if we believe the Bible. And we are looking forward to that. And there are many indications in Scripture that's exactly what God is going to do. He's going to raise the physical dead, even as he has already raised the spiritual dead when he raised us to life in the new birth. But here's the point. If you are a Gentile, as these Colossians were, you don't even have any hope or promises that relate to those who are the circumcised, namely the Jews. They had special promises. They had a special covenant. They had special privileges that were granted to them. They had prophets sent to them by God. They had a Messiah promised to them by God. And they, therefore, even though, like all men, they were born dead in trespasses and sins, and they added to their condition by their own choice to sin. So in that respect, everybody's alike. Jews no different from Gentiles. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in this respect, they have this body of promises that should lead them to realize there is hope even for those who are spiritually dead. God has promised to bring a redeemer. God has promised to replace death with life. And I am in the family to whom those promises were made. I am a Jew. I am of the circumcision, but not the Colossians. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Talking now, I remind you, about physical circumcision. In verse 11, he talked about circumcision made without hands, spiritual circumcision. But now he talks about physical circumcision. And as you know, circumcision, a physical act, a physical operation that was performed upon Jewish males, was the sign of God's covenant with Abraham. And so what he's saying to them is, you are dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. You are non-Jews. That is, you are Gentiles. And Gentiles were excluded from the many promises God made to Israel. Paul said something similar to the Ephesian Christians. He said this in his epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What's worse than being dead? Being dead without any hope of ever being made alive? being dead without any promises that it's possible that you could be made alive? That's what's worse. Double trouble. And obviously, only God can accomplish the needed rescue. And what he's saying to the Colossians was, you had no claim on God. You do not belong to the family with whom he established his covenant of mercy. And all this is designed, of course, to highlight their desperate condition apart from Christ. And what he wants them to do is to be reminded of how hopeless they were, and therefore how great is the miracle of their salvation, how great is the mercy that God extended to them through Christ. And he wants to remind them how desperately they were in need of Christ. And all these things that Paul says to them, he's saying to us today, and to some of you, he's saying this to you in the present, not in the past. In other words, you need to understand your utter sinfulness. You need to understand your hopeless condition. You need to understand how utterly lost you are before you will feel your need of Christ and will seek God's mercy through Christ. This is an important component of understanding salvation. It's an important component of evangelizing, of preaching the gospel. There's really not much benefit in talking about the good news of the gospel until first you have explained the bad news that necessitates the good news. Dead. You know what I thought about when I was going through this a moment ago was that interview that Christ had with the Syrophoenician woman who had the daughter who I think was demon possessed, and she was appealing to Christ to heal her. And Jesus said, I'm not sent to Gentiles. I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not suitable to give the meat, the food designed for the children, and to give it to dogs, Gentile dogs. And the woman came back and said, but Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Now, what was Christ doing in saying things like that? It almost sounds rude and crude and cruel. We can scarcely believe that this is Jesus talking this way, but it is. And if it is, it's not wrong. It's actually right. It's not unhelpful. It is actually helpful. Isn't it strange that so many times we think we've got a better message than Jesus did? We think we have a better way of dealing with people than Jesus did? How utterly foolish, how utterly proud, how utterly audacious we can be. This is the way Jesus dealt with her, and what was he doing? Same thing he's doing that Paul's doing here in Colossians. He was showing her the utter hopelessness of her condition. I don't have anything for you because you're a Gentile, and I didn't come to the Gentiles. I came to the Jews. And yet she takes the lowly place. She just humbles herself. She doesn't bristle at it being called a dog. She just comes right back. But even the dogs, the puppies, can eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus said, now there's faith. And he healed her daughter. She understood her hopelessness. She understood the desperateness of her condition. She was willing to be humbled, and she appealed to Christ anyway, and he responded to that. Don't rob people from the message of their sins that is needed to humble them before the cross of Christ. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.